I've been watching the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo on TV, and the guy's like, shout like it's Saturday night. Come on, folks. And oh, praise God. You know what? Shouting is good for us. People are, oh, don't yell. Don't make noise. What are you doing at the ball games? What are you doing at the NASCAR races? Seriously. They really can't hear you. It's for you. Shouting is for you. That was, you know, I grew up the oldest of five. We weren't allowed to make a lot of noise in the house because my dad was one of 14, something like that. So they weren't allowed to make a lot of noise in the house. And we just did not yell a lot like that. Now, we would yell when we'd play out in the yard. And then I go to boot camp, and they tell me to intentionally shout, yell. I can't hear you. And I'm like, how can you not hear me? And they made us yell stupid stuff like yut, oorah. I'm like, those are dumb words. But when I let what the shouting did into me, I understood what it was about. It released me. It was releasing who I am. Especially in that particular case, they were trying to make a warrior. Trying to take some little snot-nosed, bubble-wrapped, cushy 18-year-old boy and make him a man who's going to go face somebody who wants to kill him. And that, once I got that through my brain housing group, I understood it. And so yut became a part of every slash and stab. And oorah became the motivation when we overcame. So I'm telling you, folks, when you shout, it scares the devil. Because it means you're excited. You don't know what it does. I know you even felt a little bit better yelling. It actually does do things for you. It releases endorphins in you. That's how we overcome. I'll get into a whole nother message. Yep. I just better bless the tithe and offering. Hey, by the way, I do have a few things supposed to say here real quick. She reminds me to do some announcement stuff. But we would like to thank our wonderful Compassion Cafe ministry team and patrons. What a wonderful blessing to enjoy good food and fellowship each month, as well as being able to give to those in need. Your giving provided help to an individual through a difficult move, but is now settling into her new home. Thank you again. Rest of that you can find on the page. That's all. I just wanted to reiterate that. Go ahead.
Can I say our fellowship meal that we usually have on the first Sunday of the month, it's going to be on the 20th of February instead, so it won't be next Sunday. Stay tuned. It's on the 20th.
Yeah. There's reasons behind it. So, all right, let's bless this. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we give you the honor and the glory for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the creator, not just of this world, but of this entire universe and the universes that are still going on from what you started in the beginning. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you're moving right now in your people. Lord, that your spirit is rising up. Father, even as we see the spirit of the Antichrist rise up in the world, your spirit of God is rising up in his people. And now, Lord God, we honor you today with our tithes and our offerings. Bless them, Father. Pour out your blessing in each and every believer's life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. And Gage had that 1,000-yard stare looking at me. Oh. I want you to look at your neighbor, find you a neighbor close by, and say, we will hold. We will hold. Now, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, let me fill you in real quick, do a little recap. I told you of a book I read, which I will bring you that book. And in that book, it was about the Battle of the Chosin Reservoir from Korea. It was a true account of what took place, and he actually interviewed some of the men who were still around to do the interviews. And in that one particular point, the Marines and the Army were surrounded. There was about 8,000 total American troops surrounded by between 200 and 600,000 communist Chinese who only had one goal, and that was to kill every American in North Korea. And through the source of the battle, they were, their numbers on the particular storyline that we were reading, that I read there, there were 246 Marines went up on the hill, and only 65 were able to walk away. And at that, they were barely walking. And as they were preparing, the colonel that was further north was telling the captain who was in the back holding this hill, he said, I'm giving you the option, Captain. If you cannot hold, do not be decimated. Do what you have to do. And the captain told the colonel, he said, sir, my XO and I, we were discussing this just yesterday. And he said, we figure we're here already. We will hold. Now you need to understand what he was saying. He was watching young men. I mean, the captain wasn't even in his, I think he was just maybe 30. And he's leading these guys. Some of them are 17 years old. A couple of them are even younger than that. But the average age was only about 21. Many of them had survived World War II just to go to this godforsaken piece of rock in the middle of North Korea to die. And he's got to tell them, we will stand. And, but you need to understand, first off, what was inside of each one of those men. There's a spirit, and I'm not going to call it, it's not an evil spirit, so people get real goofy. There is a spirit that they instill in each and every Marine. I can speak of this. I don't know about any other boot camp, okay? I know they try to do it in all of them. But Marines, I can tell you about. And it's not just the spirit of fighting. It's the spirit, that reason why people like Smedley Butler, Dan Daly, Archibald Henderson, A.A. Cunningham. It's the reason why these Marines, all the way back to the Revolutionary War, lives today. And it lives in each and every Marine that goes through boot camp. And that is a spirit we will hold. We will fight to the death. We will fight to the teeth. Y'all think I'm kidding about if I may not be the biggest man in the fight, and I may be on the ground, but somebody's going to the hospital because I just bit their Achilles in half. I'm going to do my best to chew it. That's what is in us. And the church thinks that we're good. We're soldiers, onward Christian soldiers, right? You know, anybody, y'all, most of y'all in here have seen Little House on the Prairie. Did you ever realize how depressing of a show it is? How? I mean, their church services where they're supposed to be getting the onward Christian soldiers. It's just an old hymn. What did it mean? Only a handful of them knew. A few of them, I'm sure, were Civil War vets. But what does it mean today? Oh, we're under such persecution. Paul knew about the persecution. He was talking about it. He told the Corinthians, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Romans, he told them, he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Don't be changed by what's going on outside. in the world. This stuff is going to happen. We have to be transformed. You know, we got three little transformers back here on the telephone pole. Not in a telephone pole, it's a pole. Just old habits. There's three transformers hanging back here, and they take that electricity and they transform it into something we can utilize. They break it down to a lower voltage, and then we got another step-down transformer that takes it even lower for us so that we can turn regular lights on. It makes it to where we can use it. Conform just means you're just whatever came out. Do you realize that human beings, we are undisciplined nasties. That's what our drill instructors called them. Undisciplined nasties. You have no bearing. You have no discipline in your body. You react to each and everything, and you shouldn't. I look at some of these police officers taking the abuse that they're taking during these riots and such. That's discipline, folks. I'd already been fired, if not worse. And I'm more disciplined than a lot of people. But I'm also at a stage in my life where I'm not taking your garbage anymore. I'm standing up for what is right. I took a stand when I was 19. Went off active duty at 23. But I never quit believing in liberty for each and every person in this country. Not only physically, but spiritually. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're spiritual. They are mighty through God. You could drop nuclear bombs, it's not going to affect the battles. You need the power of God. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to go back to there because that's where I bailed out at last week. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me stop right there again. Wiles. All we think of is Wile E. Coyote, right? That's what you should be thinking about. Tactics. His plans. What he has for you. Fortunately for Roadrunner, Acme made everything. The reality is, the coyote would have had that Roadrunner a long time ago. But we always have to be vigilant. Now's the time for challenging. There he goes. Somebody's washing their hands. That's that instant water heater we got to change out. If we aren't paying attention to what the devil is doing, he's going to sneak up and we're going to fall for the fake tunnel on the side of the rock and run right into it. We're going to stop and eat the free bird food, not understanding why is it free. Listen, nothing is really free. Now, the church, we've always touted salvation is free, right? You can't buy it. How many of you figured out it cost you something? Your life. A life for a life. But what he's giving you is so much greater in return, isn't it? The life I have in Christ is so much better than the life I could have had. Because the 80, 90 years, whatever that God has granted me to be on this earth, are nothing compared to eternity. And people may be thinking, well, that's okay. I'll just go to hell and party with my friends. Hell is not a party. The devil's not in charge. Big, big, big religious falsehood taught there. Jesus holds the keys to death and hell. He doesn't want any of us going there. He doesn't want anybody to go there. I'm getting off that subject. Put on the whole armor. We're going to talk about that here in a second. You got to put it all on. One of the hardest things to get guys to understand was to keep their helmets. Keep your helmet on. Now, back in the day, you know, World War One, they had, or and two particularly, World War Two, they had, there was a reason why they usually walked around with their straps hanging. But that reason is gone. We were told, you're not John Wayne, strap at chin strap. Keep your helmet on your head. Or great, because they're easily crushed. Keep your helmet on. The flak jackets, folks, if you're cold, you won't be cold for much longer. You can ask people who've wore them. Them things are hot, and you're wearing it in 100 degrees and 90% humidity. Your clothes are soaked, and you smell to high heavens. But you wear it because it's protecting you. And it does take some getting used to. I understand David when Saul gave him his weaponry and his armor, and he said, I've never trained in this stuff. I don't know how to move in it. It takes some adjustment. It really does. All right, next verse. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, next, stand. I think that's where, me personally, that's where it makes most impact to me. And having done all to stand, stand. You know, back when I began to really form, 12, 13 years of age, my own thoughts, okay, when you're a child, you're really not, you don't have real thoughts. But when you start becoming a teenager, you start forming your own thoughts. You start listening to things, right? And there's a group called Petra. And they had a song called Stand Up. And again, I can tell you scripture. Why? Because it's what they used. Stand up. Take a stand for Jesus. And then the whole world can see us. Paving the way for a world gone astray. Shining a light. Are we shining a light? Oh, the devil's whooping up on me. Get up, reach down, grab hold, and go. Stand, having girded your waist. Put your pants on. You got to put them on. You got to keep things tight. You got to be able to put extra stuff in your pockets. But stand. Before I go too far away from that. I'm standing, Pastor. I'm standing. It doesn't mean literally just standing. Sometimes you got to just stand, right? Sometimes you're the guy in Tiananmen Square in China. Back in, 89? Stood there in front of that tank. It's either 88 or 89, yeah. Stood in front of that tank. Y'all, that tank could have ran him over and nobody in China would have shed a tear. But he took a stand. I'm sure shortly after that he may have disappeared. Though in communist China. But when it says to stand, it's not talking about just standing up, folks. It's meaning hold fast. When you're taking a stand, you are holding fast. You're digging in. Sometimes your fighting position might be standing. Sometimes it might be kneeling. Sometimes it might be in the prone position. And sometimes you might be looking like Spider-Man, bouncing around, trying to figure out what you're doing. Well, my part isn't all that great. You know, Pastor, I got these things. I just can't fight. Let me tell you a little story about off of Fox Hill in 1950. I told you about how devastated everything's been. But in one particular fighting hole, they usually had two guys per hole. And this one guy got shot. And it was somewhere in the head, but he lost his sight. He could no longer see. That's not good when you're shooting a rifle. Anybody figured that out? The rifles weren't just finding targets. You had to find the target with your eyes. And he told his partner in the hole, he said, I can't see. So you know what they did? The blind guy loaded the weapons. He started loading. They wrapped a towel or something around his eyes to slow up the blood. And he started loading because he knew how to do that in the dark, even with sight. He did what he could do. And he fed the other guy the weapons. He'd empty one, he'd grab it. And let me tell you what, they were rattling those things off as fast as he could squeeze that trigger. You have it within you to do something. Do what you can do. Oh, but I just don't know. Listen, I don't believe in just coming in church and just taking up space. I don't. That's not church. And there's a lot of, I don't agree. Oh, shut up. I'm just sick and tired of people. I don't feel a part of the church. It's because you're not. You're not a part of a body. My little toe, I don't always feel it. But it's important. It's there. And when I catch it on the corner of a table leg, I know it's there and my entire body goes to its rescue. As a matter of fact, most generally my entire body will pull it up and drop. And my mind is focused on it. I don't care what else took place. Everything is thinking about that little toe. But this guy knew he couldn't see to shoot. But he could load those weapons because he knew it. He was in pain. He was bleeding. By the way, he survived. And I think eventually did get his sight back. But you'll have to remind me. We have got to know, no matter what stage in our life, we have a purpose. We can do something. And when we give up our purpose, why are you still breathing? That's what happens. Why am I still here? I get it now, a lot of things. Why am I here? I got things to do. I need to keep doing what God wants me to do. Sometimes it changes. Sometimes I can keep trucking. And if I can't keep doing what I used to do, I don't do that anymore, and I do something else. So having girded your waist with the truth, you put your breeches on. Having to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We don't wear breastplates anymore. We wear protective vests. Kevlar vests. They protect your vital organs. Righteousness. His righteousness. You're not putting on your righteousness. It's already a Band-Aid, according to the Word. It says it's as filthy rags. But you put on His righteousness. Next. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay. I don't know. Is there anybody else in here that this one kind of tripped you up a little bit for some reason? I mean, it just seems a lot of fancy words just to say put your boots on. Because preparation means it's already prepared. In the gospel of peace, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Put your boots on. Walk in peace. You know, I always laugh, and I know my boys are like, Dad, you know, you're just so anal about certain things, you know, da-da-da. Why do you got to have tie-up boots? You know, now I like my slip-ons. They are so much nicer to walk around on concrete on. But if you're walking in mud, they're the worst things you could have. I worked with some boys because one guy wore the slip-on boots. They all did. On roofs. Anybody that's ever done roof work, especially metal, know that's stupid. First off, they're slick. period, and you have no support for your ankles. See, combat boots are designed to go up a certain height, and they lace all the way to the top. They're made of leather so that they protect your ankles. You can roll your ankle and still get along. You can still move. Over time, things have changed. You know, in Paul's time, they pretty much wore a sandal with a lot of leather lacing wrapped around it. It protected their ankles from rolling in a battle. Because you need to understand, battles aren't just standing 500 yards apart and shooting at each other with cannons and guns. There came a point when you would hear the cry, "Affix bayonets." That meant you were getting real close and personal with somebody. And at that point, you were going to have to use, there's a position. You can't stand here like this and fight. You're going over head over heels. You have to stand with your power foot behind you and be ready to go so you can slash, butt stroke. I got put out of a pugil stick fight like that. The guy was this tall, though. He could see the top of my head. I couldn't see the bottom of his chin. We have to understand there's reasons behind all this. What's that got to do with the Word of God? First off, you got to walk in peace in everything. You got to cast down the thoughts and imaginations, the wars that begin between your ears. Oh, but you don't know what my dad said to me. I don't care. I don't care anymore. You're not the only one. Put it behind you. Because if you don't put it behind you, it's going to ruin your life. Well, you know, you don't know how my mama treated me. Listen, you're not the only one. But when you can put this stuff behind you, you can grow. And I'm watching people do it. That's how I can tell you to do it. But you have to walk in peace. You have to cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. And the knowledge of Christ is, my peace I leave with you. It's not a peace that the world can give. Right now, the world's trying to give you a peace. Well, we got to get to this point. There is no point. Do you understand that? This thing has been released on the world, and it will continue to mutate. That's what it's going to do. You know how I know? Look in your Bible. Listen, quit trying to put a timeline on things. So many preachers, I think, are going to go, wow, I missed that one. I'm like, I'd like to be able to tell you what's going to happen, when, where, but it's not going to happen. You just got to deal with it as it comes. And I'll be honest with you, I now know why God put me in rapid deployment units everywhere I went. We didn't have a week to prepare. Our stuff was always packed and ready to go. If I had to go, whoop. If we were given orders to stand up, we were out. And then we did that several times in Okinawa, and then we were told to stand down. Go back. Put your stuff up. Go to work. But the gospel of peace, it's the peace that he brings. It's the message of peace. Yeah, we're in a war. But isn't it much nicer to be on the side when you know how to fight? It's so much nicer when you know how to do things. I mean, when I got to boot camp, my platoon had one, I was number 100. We only had 80 racks. So 20 of us had to be split up with a sister series that had been there a week earlier. I got sent to one of them, and I had to go to swim qual. Mind you, I'm not a real strong swimmer. Nobody ever took the time to teach me properly. Just do this. So I just did that. Well, I definitely can't swim like Addy. I wear myself out. I waste so much energy. But they said, we want you now to go from this side. The pool was about the size of this room, a little bit longer, okay? Go from this side without touching. The water's only this deep, okay? Oh, by the way, you're in combat boots. You're in your fatigues. And you've now got to swim. But no, it wasn't necessarily even swimming. It was treading water all the way across without touching. And I don't know how they could see that. My toe. I knew it was there. I felt the ground floor, but my toe hit it. You, out of the water. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing. These other guys had the class. There was five of us. We didn't have the class. We didn't know what we were doing. We all failed. Nobody taught us. That's why I'm trying to teach you, so that you know. So when it came to jumping off the high dive with our helmet, vest, and pack, and rifle, and then you jump into water, and you got to take your rifle, and you got to unsling, you got to get it off of your pack, and now it's kind of wrapped around your neck, and you got to get it off, and you got to kick your way to the side. You know what's one of the worst things you can do as a Marine in the pool with your rifle? Now, mind you, it was a dummy rifle, but drop it to the bottom of the pool. To refresh ourselves. We did it to remind ourselves, first off, who we were. We did it so that we could remember our weapons. Sometimes we get a little used to having them, right? Yeah, I got it. I got my sword of the Spirit, Lord. Yeah, whatever. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do about this situation? We'll talk about that. Next, above all, taking the shield of faith. Your faith is a shield to protect you. Now, they had this. Today, we don't have this, okay? But also, back then, they stood on a line, side by side, and they charged each other, shot arrows at each other, threw spears at each other. Today, we don't. Today, we send in the Air Force, our planes. We send in missiles, artillery, tanks, and then we send in the ground troops. And when a ground troop has to build a defensive position, they call what Marines like to call fighting holes. They're still foxholes, but somebody got it in their head. They're foxes are cowardly little creatures. I'm like, well, you came across the wrong fox, I think, because I think they're pretty sly. So we got these holes with a parapet in front. It protects us. The only thing you can see is the top of your head. And then you can lay right there with your weapon. And we designed these. When we would learn to do them, we designed them so that they couldn't be seen. So we would put limbs and grass and things like that. And then we'd set our claymore mines up. See, we need to take that shield of faith. Well, the world says, why do you believe it? Who cares what the world says? Does it matter what the news anchor said? Does it matter if somebody with a PhD said? Stephen Hawking still went to hell. Sad. Brilliant mind. Do you know there was a time in life he was willing to admit that he was wrong about God? And then he changed his mind and, well, his fate was sealed. I got that from a movie about his life. Who cares what other people think about your faith? You believe in God. Great. I can't remember if it was Peter, but said, you do great. You do good. Even the demons in hell believe. You had better trust in everything you got in God. Be willing to do what God says. They know their judgment's coming. That's why they're shivering. We need to believe in our supreme commander and know he's a righteous judge. Now, having said all this, let me help you out here. A lot of people are like, but, you know, I'm just not there. I'm fighting. Some of you got some pretty big battles you're fighting. I get it. But do what you can do. Continue to progress. There were things, guys, in boot camp, there were some of these things I'm like, how do you not get this? This is so easy. Make your bed. Not a hard thing. Really wasn't. Pick up your underwear. Wasn't a hard thing. I had to do it at home. But then there came to things that I was a little less confident in. One being shooting a rifle. I'd never shot other than Rob's 22, which was nothing like an M16. I had never shot a rifle. And I wasn't a hateful shot, but I was intimidated by this weapon. And all these, this thing has no kick. My daddy's 30-30 kicks harder than this. I'm thinking, ooh, 30-30. Man, he must know what he's doing. And it took me some time to get used to that. But then when it came to the obstacle courses, well, naturally, I loved obstacle courses. Loved them. I could get through them. I didn't care about my body, so I just did stupid things to get through them and win. But other guys, when you're running across a telephone pole, this way, they couldn't do it. They could not get it. And honestly, it's one of those things called physics. You get over it and you run and you won't fall. But if you're walking, you're going to slip. It's how we grow. We just start doing it. Some of them, they got it. Others, they just had to develop some strength in areas to be able to climb them. Once they got that, though, they started coming up. Everybody has to start somewhere in your training, in your faith. But the quicker you believe what God says, God thinks you're a winner. He doesn't think you're a loser. God thinks you're worthy. The world doesn't. God says you're healed. But Pastor, he still says you're healed. Continue to stand. Well, it's just time. I don't argue with God on how he does things. I've seen people instantaneously healed of things, And I've seen other people that kind of had to fight through. But usually when they fought through, they had this thing called a testimony. Because they'd just gone through a trial. And they were able to tell other people the goodness of God. What did God do? What did God do for you? I know what he's done for you. But that's because of your trials. And it wasn't easy, was it? But you did it and you look back. See, the great thing about going through something like it and coming back, you're stronger. You're stronger and you're looking back. I'd do that again. You know, after boot camp, I look back. That was nothing. What was I so for? That was nothing. That's not what I was saying on day one. I said, dear God, what have I done? This little black dude talked like Froggy from the Little Rascals. He even had the glasses. Wearing this smoky, you couldn't hardly see his eyes. He wasn't but about this wide. Holy terror. And he could move. He was up and down that line. But when I walked across the graduation deck, I forgot all about that stuff. I'd do it again. You ask me, 30-some years later, would I do it again? Absolutely. Just not at 52. There is no way. We had a 27-year-old that couldn't make it. Taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. This word dart is really a bad word. It should say bolts. Like a crossbow bolt. They're not darts. Darts you do. Oh, anybody ever been stuck with a dart? I know I can't be the only one. Told you. My brother and I, we did some sketchy things. We figured out they stick in cinder block walls too. You get hit by a crossbow bolt, you're not standing. It's going to take you off your feet. And then yet it says fiery. So that thing is burning. And those ones were designed just to stick and just burn. But if you got a shield, most of us in here have seen a few movies or two with, you know, that kind of battle, right? Roman era type, Greece, Spartans, all that. They stick those shields. Those shields are designed to stop those arrows from going through, and then they just break them off, leave the heads in them. And then they keep raising it up, and whenever they see a volley coming at them, they all get together. By the way, y'all paid attention to that? I love how this is working. Okay, she's got her shield. She puts her shield up. I put my shield up and overlap her shield. My faith is overlapping hers. And your faith is overlapping mine. And it's protecting us all. See, that's why the Bible tells us to come together so that we can get encouraged, so that we can be built up in our most holy faith, so that when those darts are coming... I mean, Lord of the Rings was one of those shows that I just like, that is amazing. Look at it turned the sky black. How many arrows? And then you're running around and thinking, well, what are my odds of getting hit? Pretty doggone good. But we'd be able to quench all those fiery darts. Next. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation. Folks, you have got to protect your mind. You are saved. The one thing the devil... How am I saved? What am I saved from? Why do I have to get saved? We have to become saved. We have to receive what Jesus Christ did because Adam sinned. Well, why does what one person did... do we all pay for? Well, I don't know. Why does one jerk with a gun go down and shoot somebody and they want to take mine? Why? Because that's the way sin works. Somebody does something stupid, I pay. I'll be honest with you, that was one thing I hated in the military. Okay, so Corporal so-and-so did something stupid, and I got to pay for it? I asked my OIC one day, I said, how can we, you know, you keep telling us to develop as leaders. I was a senior corporal out of almost the entire battalion at that point because we had so many guys being pushed out. And I said, how are we supposed to discipline the troops? You know, as corporals, we were really restricted. They didn't want us getting too crazy, I guess. And I said, so, he said, well, you got to do this and this. So in other words, I said, I have to mess myself over in order to discipline them. Yeah. You mean I can't just put them on restriction? I can't make them do extra work in the barracks or something? I got to be there to supervise them, even though we got a duty who does that. Yep. So I did. I started doing that. Anytime I had somebody I had to deal with like that, I did it. Wasn't always fun, and I could have done better. I could have done a lot better on it. So we got to keep our salvation. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by His work, what He did. The one thing He did is why you're saved. Okay? Don't let the devil steal that, because right here's where the battles are fought, right? Isn't that Joyce Meyer's The Battlefield of the Mind? 6 inches between your ears is where all of your battles are at. Oh, but what do they think about? Who cares what they think about you? You're the only one who thinks. That's what I've come to find out. I'm the only one who thinks some of that stuff. Yeah, I'll tell you, I got to be honest. In school, I really didn't have a whole lot of self-confidence. Ego, but no self-confidence. And I said something to a friend of mine one time, a couple years ago even, and I said, man, I said, you know, back in the day, being a nerd wasn't a good thing. Don't watch Revenge of the Nerds, but you know what I'm talking. And I said, I just felt like such a nerd back then. And he looked at me, he said, what are you talking about? He said, you were the coolest kid most of us knew. I said, what? You didn't care what people thought. Well, that I didn't. And I thought about it. Yeah, I really didn't care what too many people thought. The girls, yes. I cared what they thought. But the guys? So, he told me, he said, I'm not the only one. But to find out that even though we weren't always, we didn't have any class, we had one class together, and that was phys ed. And I said, he said, you brought a bright spot to people's life. And I thought, wow. And here I thought, I didn't amount to anything in high school. You know, I'm not kidding about my grades. It was a 1.9 I graduated with. Intentional. I did it on purpose. I kissed a 3.75 goodbye. I did what I wanted to do. Was it smart? Probably not. Definitely if I was going to go to college. Oh, you're a quitter. No, I hit my goal. That's the way I looked at it, but might have been wrong. I hit my goal. But we have to keep in our salvation. We have to quit fighting these battles all the time. Trying to impress people that don't matter. Trying to impress anybody. Do you know who I need to impress? Her and my grandchildren. They still need to think that Grandpa is the best. That's all there is to it. I don't need to impress anybody else. I'm not out because I'm always going to find a place to fail you. Now, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Most of you have been here long enough to understand why we have a sword on a pulpit. It is a two-edged sword. We read in Revelation, I believe it might be chapter 3. John is talking about seeing the Son of God. And he's just so bright. And he said, but out of his mouth proceeds a sword, a two-edged sword, like that. See, the sword, thanks to Forged in Fire, I've learned a lot about them. There are things done to the sword to make them lighter, to balance them. For this sword to be a perfect weapon, you need to be able to stick your hand finger underneath the hilt and it lay level. That is a good sword because it's perfectly balanced. You need to be able to get a sharp edge. You need to have a hard edge, but you can't be too hard or it'll be too rigid and it'll break. See, that's what's wrong with religion. Well, we don't let women wear makeup. My wife wants to wear makeup. She can wear makeup. Well, we don't think you preachers ought to be wearing cowboy boots. Well, if I was in Texas, that would be the norm. So what difference does it make if I wear cowboy boots? God's not impressed or anything else that I do or don't. You know what would really get people fired up? If I wore my sandals. I'll have people all over. You shouldn't be wearing sandals to church. Jesus wore sandals. If they're good enough for my Savior, why aren't they good enough for me? Shut up. But that sword, it needs to come out. That's why you have to have the Word of God in you. If you don't have the ammo, it's not going to come out. When you're in a battle, the one thing you don't want to hear, click. Right? I can't get it in! Pop it in, release it, pop, 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 pop. Let me put it to you this way. The Bible says the devil comes in like a flood. That's the way the enemy comes in, right? It's how those communists came across to the Marines at Chosen. Like a flood. That was their goal, was to flood them. And you need to understand, back then, they didn't have the M16 that you could just slap another magazine in it and you're off. They had the M1 Garand. And you had to be careful with that thing. There's a thing called Garand thumb. On that last bullet that shoves in through the clip, they fed from the top. They'd shove that thing in there. It released the bolt. And the bolt would shut on your finger. So you had to hold the thumb catch for it so you could charge it with this hand and feed it. And if you forgot to do that, you were going to end up with a black and blue thumb and hurting. They didn't have that. They had to rely on their discipline. That's why we're called disciples of Christ, to discipline, not to panic. The worst thing we can do in any given situation is to panic. Now, people think, oh, you're moving fast. That's not panic. It's called moving fast. I was trained how to move fast. Because if I don't move fast, something bad could happen. The sword of the Spirit. And then you come down, you know, you got this point that pierces, these edges that are cutting, the hilt. That's business. It keeps the enemy's weapon at bay. It stops his blade from coming after your fingers. And then you've got the handle. That whole thing is a weapon, folks. It's not just the blade. What happens if the blade breaks? Bonk. See, I know you thought I looked kind of funny up there, standing like this, and then go, butt stroke, slash, stab. That's what happens when your M16 jams, or it breaks, and you're face to face with the enemy. But you don't just, you take a step with each one of those. Because you're advancing now. Because if not, you're retreating. Now, you may be still fighting, and Marines fight only fight in just another direction. They don't retreat. But you got to continue to fight. See, if you didn't know that, you'd just stand there. You got to advance. The devil is doing the same thing to you. That's why you need to know this. That's why people got to get it through their heads. The stuff that's happening at your schools is because of these powers and principalities that you have authority over. You begin to pray. Pray in the Spirit. The Spirit never goes wrong. And then you can, once you know what the Spirit, how, God will even tell you. Faith, this morning, I want you to pray this over your kids. Boom, she can do that. She has authority. They're her students. You have authority at your workplace. You can't run everything out, but you can flat out control what's in your area. You can control what's coming after you. You can take it on. Let me keep moving. 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Be praying for everybody. Remember, my faith can cover hers, and your faith can cover mine. And we're all protected. We join together. And when we could keep moving like that. Today, we don't have those shields, right? Well, Pastor, how do we do this? It's called cover fire. And I'm going to tell you right now, the first time I did it with live ammunition, I ain't going to lie. It's a little concerning. You got to get up while somebody is shooting over your head from behind. Don't tell me you don't run like this. Well, I'm just going to run. Run. We're going to run a marathon. No. Short. They call it leapfrog. Each person, each group moves in a just like a leapfrog. And you get up there and you hit your targets. But they don't take off running 100 yards at a time. Here's how we remembered it. I'm up, they see me, I'm down. Knees, butt, roll. Drop to your knees, butt of your rifle, and roll into position. And you thought combat was just getting out and shooting each other. I'm up, they see me, I'm down. Knees, butt, roll. And by the way, at that point, I have to start shooting for the guys behind me so they can advance, or else my advancement might leave me out in the middle of nowhere, which did actually happen on that hill one night. The guy realized he was 200 yards in front of everybody else. Their positions had got overrun. He got cut off. He was surrounded by Chinese by himself. He just kind of, when he ran out of ammo, he just kind of hunkered down and just waited. Kind of need some ammo. I ain't got nothing to fight with, so I'll be ready if they come into the hole, but and might get his head taken off by a friendly fire. He got up the next morning, and that's when he saw just how far away he was. That's why you stick close. That's why Hebrews tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves, as is the habit of some, and even more so when we see the day. Folks, I don't know about you, but I see the day. I don't know when, and that's what the devil wants. He wants the body of Christ to quit assembling. He wants people to stay out of touch. Now, Facebook Live is fine, right? Watching whoever your favorite preacher is on TV is fine. This is what stirs up love. This is what stirs up your faith. Coming together. Oh, but you know, I want to get to know anybody, or I don't know if I like anybody. Well, who cares? It ain't a like contest. It's a love contest. Trust me, there are plenty of guys I served with I didn't like, but they were my fellow Marines. And if they were in a fight, they had my weapon. Even if it was knuckles. Or in some cases, e-tools. I heard of one unit, they jumped each other with e-tools. And those are nothing to snort at. They're sharp. By the way, that was two Marine units. They hated each other that bad. That shouldn't be in the body of Christ, but you know what? That's exactly what has happened. Well, you know, I can't pray with them. They're of a different denomination. Why? All it means is they believe something just a little bit different. They've interpreted something a little bit different. Well, you know, we're the holy ones. Oh, you are so self-righteous. You better go get saved. God doesn't care whether you sing. He doesn't care if you got earrings, male or female. I finally come to that conclusion. I'm still not going to pierce my ears. Even though, you know, if I had the capability of the cool hair, which I don't anymore, you know, a hoop, gold hoop, maybe with a pirate's hat or something. Just saying. All right. You need to make sure that when the devil's coming in, you're ready. Go to the rifle range. Go to the gas chamber. Throw a couple grenades. Remember what you've got. Well, I'm not under attack. Somebody in this church is at any given time. And that's why you have to call out so that people know. Hey, yo, pastor, and if it's something y'all know how to get a hold of me? I need prayer for this specific thing. I don't want to share it on Facebook. That's great. I honestly, there's some things I'd rather you not share on Facebook. I tried to keep it as the family page small, but when we had to go live like this, we invited a bunch of people. Not everybody on that page is saved, nor do they believe in God. People got invited and they took it. And I pray that when they're scanning through it on Sunday morning and they see us singing and they see us preaching and they see us clapping, that something is planted. Because on any given Sunday, there's at least 60 people that have seen this message. And the ones that are usually tuning in are usually those who aren't here today. So that's usually how it's working. Praise God. It's a tool. I'll use it. But it's not going to tell me I can't say what I want to say. It's not going to tell me that I can't say Jesus is the only way. It's not going to do that. And my faith is why I'm saved. I have to believe in it. You know, just like I had to believe that in 1997, I had to believe that the U.S. government was going to mail me my honorable discharge. When I got it, look, it came. That's the way we're going to be in heaven. See, we have a deposit. We have our DD-214, which is that little piece of paper that they hand us so we don't go to jail for being UA or AWOL. Hey, I'm separated. And then I got that paper all fancy written, posted on the wall in my office. Honorable discharge. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. The day I got that, I was kind of excited. My commitment was done. We get there. The race is run. We won. I don't care how hard it's been. You'll look back and you'll think, really wasn't that hard. No, it was. It's because you grew. You developed strength. You developed your skills. The longer I was in, the better shot I became. Just like everything, you got to be taught how to do it first, and then you got to do it. I'll stop there. All right, let's stand. for anybody who may be wondering, we did put our kitten outside. Right after I said, I know he's in a cage. I can't stand that. I can't handle the smell. He's got to go outside. His eyes were cleared up. He was good to go. Yeah, and it warmed up. And so, and then he just tore into me again. And I'm like, I'm not trying to hurt you, Hobbs. I named him Hobbs. And he fought like a little tiger. And I carried him out there. He's growling at me the whole time. I get out there. Well, the other kittens were back. Huh. Hmm. There's four. I think they move because we didn't see them for about a week or so. I don't know if they went up in the upper part of the barn and crawled into some straw or what, but it's like, yeah, I don't know who's here and who's not. And you're barn cats. That's all there is to this. But I didn't kill it. He bit me. He growled at me. I tried to talk some sense into him. My reputation, I see, precedes me. But I'm working on it. All right, let's pray. Our Father God in heaven, Lord, we are truly grateful to be your family, to be your children, to be on your side. Father, first off, we pray for those that we know, the ones we've been praying for and believing for who do not know you. Lord, we pray that you send workers to them to surround them, to sow the seed, to water the seed, to harvest the harvest. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving through your people and here and at my voice today. Father, that you're strengthening them, Father. You're showing them areas that they need to refine. Father, that they are stronger than they think. That, Father, any time a test comes, it just means they've got to take it on, and they will win if they're standing on you. And that, Father, if they get knocked down, it doesn't mean that they can't fight. Standing does not mean upright. You might be on your back fighting. So, Father, help them to realize just because I got knocked down doesn't mean I'm out. And now, Lord, I thank you that your healing power is ministering through this body right now. Father, any germs that may be tagging along, we curse them in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you right now that our immunity systems are building up and being stronger and stronger against all sickness and disease. And now, Father, I thank you for those that maybe they're home and they're ill. I bless them, Father. I pray right now you touch their lives, heal their bodies. And Father, I bless these here. Father, I pray that your power moves through them this week. Father, that when an attack comes, that they deflect it quickly. Father, and that if they don't have what it takes to deflect it, that they have enough wherewithal to call for help. Call for the artillery. Call for air support. Call for reconnaissance. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in them right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.